Wake Up Call continues on WTLS. Our privilege to talk to Harry Jackson, a World War II veteran, joining us here on the Wake Up Call. Mr. Jackson, good morning to you.
Good morning, Michael.
Appreciate you doing this. Yeah, I got a call from Bob Reed. I'm going to give him kudos here. He said, you know, you need to get him on the air because of his time in service. And I always enjoy talking to veterans and seeing the trials that they've been through. And first of all, giving them great appreciation for their service. So I'll say that right off the bat. But we appreciate you coming on. I do kind of want to go through your time coming up and your time serving in World War II, as well as some things you've done here in the community. So if we can take you back to your time being brought up here, kind of give us a little history of your life from the time as you were a youngster up through service and where you are today.
Well, I was born in Baconton, Georgia. That's a very small town. Moved to Cuthbert, Georgia when I was 13 and finished high school in Cuthbert, Georgia. When we graduated from high school, every man in the class went into the service.
Wow.
I was going to turn 18 in November after graduating in May, and I did not want to go in the Army, so I volunteered for the Navy and was sworn in on my 18th birthday.
Wow.
Went to boot camp at Great Lakes, Illinois, then was assigned to go to Fleet Sound School in Key West, Florida, to learn to be what they call a sonar man now. But after 6 weeks in Key West, I was assigned, I made my first strike, my petty officer, third class strike, was assigned to a sub chaser in Mayport, Florida. That's out near Jacksonville. But I had not been on the sub chaser very long before we got word to go into dry dock to prepare for overseas service. So very shortly we were on our way to New York to be put aboard a ship to go to Europe to get ready for the Normandy invasion. Mm. We got to England a few weeks before the invasion, and after the invasion, we stayed on for another. We went back to England for some R&R after the invasion, and then reported back. Went to Cherbourg, France, to operate out of Cherbourg, France, until our time to come home. In December, we came home, and I had a 30-day leave. When I got reported back to my ship, I found out it did not come home. It was stayed over in Europe. So I was transferred to another ship in Miami, Florida. After 6 months there, we got the word again, go into dry dock to prepare for overseas service. So we went into dry dock. They took off all the K-guns and put 20-millimeter guns in every place they could find to put a 20-millimeter. A 20-millimeter is a rapid-fire, short-range gun that's good at shooting down airplanes. So we were on our way then to what would be the invasion of Japan. Our job when we got there was to get between the big ships and the shore and shoot down the kamikazes when they came out.
Wow.
Thank God we didn't get that far. We were one day out of Pearl Harbor when the surrender came. We still went on to Japan, and after spending enough time in Japan, tied to a buoy with nothing to do, we were then sent to China, to Shanghai, China. We got to Shanghai, China, and I still don't know what purpose we went there for. We didn't do anything but sit there, but Then word came to go to Guam. And we were on Guam when my time was up, and it was time for me to get out. I had served my duration in 6 months. That's what I signed up for. So,
all of that you saw in 6 months. You stormed the beaches of Normandy, and you were very close to the kamikaze action, I guess, not far from that. I mean, you saw pretty much everything, I guess.
Well, if we had to invade Japan, we would have been shooting down kamikaze.
Can't imagine. Yeah.
But
can you explain Normandy? I know this is kind of tough to do on the radio, but what can you tell us about that experience?
Well, there were two beachheads. There were actually five American beachheads. We had two, Omaha and Utah. Omaha was the bad one. That's where we lost a lot of men. Our ship was at Utah. Utah was divided into two beaches itself, Red Beach and Green Beach. One was known as the Slow Beach and the other the Fast Beach. Our job was to steer or guide the landing ships that carried tanks into the beach. Unfortunately, the tank, the LCT that was right in front of us, hit a mine and blew up. We recovered eight soldiers, eight tankmen, and one sailor from that disaster. Took them to a tank transport, which had a big sick bay that could take care of the wounded. And then we went back to guiding the ships to where they were supposed to go ashore at Utah Beach. But after that, we did various things, screening outside the convoy area, doing whatever came to hand until we, 20 days later, we went back to England for some R&R. But after that, we went back to Cherbourg and stayed until time to come home.
How do you explain the difference between what your life was as a kid coming up in Georgia to go into serve 6 months in the middle of war time and then when it's over, I can't imagine the contrast.
Well, I became a man for sure.
Yep.
From an 18-year-old to, I guess you'd say a veteran. But I learned from that the value of life. I learned that life is a precious thing, but that it can be taken away from you in a blink. That is the takeaway that I had from World War II.
How old are you now, Mr. Jackson?
I'm 94 now.
And after your wartime was done, you're I guess you decided to go into the workforce, and you worked at...
I went to college right out of when I got out of the Navy. I graduated from North Georgia College, and then I had a job waiting for me at First National Bank in Auburn when I got out of college. I had some connection there, and was one of the few veterans that came out of college at that time that had a job. But I was there for 5 years, and I made the biggest mistake of my career. I moved to a bank in Florida. After 9 months there, I saw a chance to get back to a bank in my home state of Georgia. So I went to Griffin, Georgia, and then was there at Griffin for 2 years, and I heard about a new bank that was being organized in Carville, Alabama. So I made some inquiries around, and I found out about it from a friend that ran one of the banks in Tuskegee. I worked. His brother worked in the same bank I worked in Georgia. So he, I found out about it through my through the Parker people, friends. But I applied and got the job, and that was quite an adventure to start a bank from scratch. But
so that was that 1958? Was that the first year of that bank?
1958.
Yeah. And People's Bank we're talking about. It was called the People's Bank then, right?
It was called People's Bank of Carville then. Carville was an incorporated city.
Yes.
A town. Couldn't call it a city. But it was a bustling little town at that time. We had two clothing stores, drug store, two hardwares, a cafe. We had everything a little town needed. But it's really sad to drive through there now and see what's left.
What was your position? You said you kind of started from scratch there. What was your position with the bank initially?
I was the executive vice president. That's the vice president that did the actual job, the operation, executive vice president. And cashier, that was tacked on to it, but very shortly I passed that on to one of the ladies that worked for us.
Let me ask you a question about something that happened at the bank that I've been told has been passed down. Is it, it was an incident that you decided you were not going to stay any longer because I think they wanted you to lay off some people or something. Could you kind of explain that to us?
Well, they never did give me an a real reason. The reason they told me was that several of the largest stockholders did not like the way I was running the bank. So they fired me, some without warning or without notice. But as it happened, the entire staff of ladies that worked there,
that's it, yeah,
saw the injustice in that, so they quit. They turned in their keys. And then, of course, the bank couldn't operate without people, so they called me back in and hired me again and gave me a promotion. So
funny how things work. When was that? Was that right after you started, I guess?
No, that was, that was years later.
Yeah, that bank is still around. I know it's changed names a couple of times, but it's still here all these years later. When did you retire from the banking business?
When I retired, I was president and the chief executive officer. But I had been, when I was hired back, I was chairman of the board, chief executive officer, president. I passed the chairman of the board off to another gentleman before I left. But it was quite an adventure, I'll tell you that.
And quite impressive what you've done, and your wife by your side. How many years of marriage for you two now?
If we make it to August 12th, we will be married 72 years.
Wow. Very impressive. Mr. Jackson, appreciate you kind of giving us some information about your time here in Tattlesee and the service that you did in World War II as well. Thank you for being on with us today.
You're quite welcome.
Thank you very much. Harry Jackson, ladies and gentlemen, what a story right there of his life here in Tattlesee. As he said, 94 years old and getting close to 72 years in marriage. Can't we all strive for that?
Yes, sir.
Yes.